okay to take it slow. Minutes turning into hours doesn't really matter. I just want you. You're the only one I'm after. Spirit, come in power. I just want you.
Minutes turning into hours doesn't really I could get used to this. Nothing comes close and nothing compares to you. If this is what heaven is like, then I could get used to this. How about all of you? We're going to turn up some background music here. And we're going to welcome you to Rise Up. Good morning. How are you all? It is January 28th already. Can you believe that January is already almost over? But at the same time, it was only 8 days ago that President Trump was inaugurated, and it seems like he's been back for months. Time flies when you're having fun. It really does. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm going to adjust my mic here. I want to say congratulations to Lala. Lala Cart got aced her exam. So congratulations. Very, very happy and proud for you. River Rat, thank you for being here. You've been here for quite some time now. And all glory goes to God. Good morning to Rachel and Lord Fishy. How are you? Annette, Sherry, Mustache, Veronica, been with you from the start, Veronica said. What a ride it has been, huh? Cindy said, January has always been a long month for me, but not anymore. Good morning, Eileen and Trishy and Majorva. Kelly, good morning. Grammy Love, TD Hodges, Kittenhead, my sister Crystal, Loki in the building. Good morning, Crystal. Keep sending me stuff. I love it. Crystal is reading Romans right now. And when I woke up at 5 this morning, I had a text message. I'm like, wonder who text messaged me at 5 this morning. And it was my sister telling me that she's been reading Romans. And she absolutely loves Romans. And I said, it's one of the best. It's one of the best. Race Mom, good morning. Thank you for letting us walk through your journey with you. Well, it is my pleasure. You know, looking back on it now, I can't imagine not doing it. You know, as much as I was pushing back against it. Good morning, Slyans. Hello, hello. You know, a person I didn't see in here yesterday was Dottie. Dottie was a newcomer to the show. Good morning to my mom. Renee is in the building. Well, folks, we have about 700 people watching. If you could do me the kind favor of making sure that you're following the page, liking this video, that's very important, by the way. It's very important to us that you do that. And then, of course, sharing the video is great. Singing Sherry said, I've been with you since the backyard days, too. Like I said, been a ride, huh? A lot of changes. A lot of people have been asking where they can get this All My Role Models Went to Prison t-shirt. JeremyHarrell.com or LFATV.us. All My Role Models Went to Prison. Jesus, Daniel, Peter, John, the whole mess of them. And this is a great shirt to wear. Because people are like, all your role models went to prison. Then they see the bottom, they're like, oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure is. And you can get a 20% discount on that, too, by the way, using promo code REDWAVE until the end of this month. Marfae says, I've been with you since the backyard beginning, too. You know how it's crazy, and which I think is just the glory of God, is all of these people that have been here for that long, and they're on Rise Up. It's like, I can understand being here since the beginning for Live from America. But Rise Up, to see so many, you know, people who've been here from the beginning. So you guys have really seen some changes. You know what I mean? Really seen some changes. Today's show, three parts of faith. Three parts to faith. And we're gonna try to get as much information out as we possibly can in this 1 hour. You know what I noticed Sunday, leaving church, I'm like, wow, regular church is an hour and a half. And we try to fit everything in an hour. So, pretty incredible. The difference is it's actually like an hour and 15 minutes here because I do play the music leading up to, you know, the piano music and stuff like that. So it's really like an hour and 15 minutes. Now, the verse of the day today is going to come from James, the book of James, chapter 2, verses 21 through 26. That's the book of James, chapter 2, verses 21 through 26. All right? And today we're going to talk about the three parts of faith, or the three pillars of faith. And you know, I'm Sullivan said, God has brought us to this point, need to praise and worship him. Amen. It's the entire reason I'm in Iowa. And I had a lunch meeting yesterday with a UFC veteran whose life mission today is regenerative farming, regenerative agriculture, and bringing the land and our bodies back to what God intended, using patented technology and stuff like that. And I was with him for 2 hours for lunch yesterday, having this meeting. And he's going to end up having a show. He's a UFC legend, Pat Miletich. He's going to end up having a show here once a week, I think on Saturdays, to talk about regenerative farming and soil to human health. It's going to be a fantastic show. And how the lobbyists in D.C., both for pharmaceuticals and for farmland, and acquiring farmland, are always working against the actual small farmer, and how we're actually paying to kill ourselves. It's a truly incredible topic for discussion. And again, they do regenerative farming right at Cambridge. Yeah, he's actually goes from university to university teaching this stuff. So it's going to be a really cool show, and just really cool to have somebody that I used to pay pay-per-view money to watch in MMA. So, you know, God is good, and God brings his people together for the good of all things. The Three Pillars of Faith, episode number 517. They say that faith requires action, right? Faith without works is dead. Well, there are also two other pillars to faith besides works. And you can see it throughout the history of the Bible. Today, we will talk about the three parts or pillars of faith that you need in order to fully rely on God. Okay? So please join with me today as we speak through the Holy Spirit from a message through Christ from God, and help me spread and share the gospel, not gossip. Let's go ahead and have our prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, what a wonderful day today is. What a wonderful life this is. What a wonderful time that you have put us in for a very specific reason, for our calling. However, the reason that you plucked us from heaven and gave us a human body to experience life on earth is for a reason. And so many people never open the door, never accept, never receive that mission statement, that mission instruction to accomplish and achieve what you want us here to do. Today, Lord, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the message that you brought to me this morning about what it takes to have real faith and what you might be missing in your faith. Lord, we just thank you so very much for this message. We thank you so very much for this time together. So many of us need this interaction, need this fellowship. And Lord, we pray for our land. We pray for our laws. We pray for our safety. We pray for our children. We pray for that American dream built on the pillars of Christianity. to once again be a priority and at the forefront of all of our conversations at work, at the supper table, with our friends and family. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're just joining in, verse of the day is the book of James, chapter 2, verse 21 through 26. And I'm actually just going to pull this up now and read it now so that we can get to my talking points. Now, I have no notes today. This is straight from the Holy Spirit, straight from the heart. And yesterday was a really good day for me. Yesterday, I really started getting back into working out. Really started getting back into the works of my health. Now, everybody knows that I've been taking Field of Greens and Armra and Magnesium, and I got the new Juvent platform over there, which I did my unboxing and first use and review of and put it on my Facebook page. Maybe somebody is kind enough to put it in the Facebook family page as well, so you guys can see that. All of that is great. And we should be getting back to making sure that our body has the right nutrition and minerals and vitamins and, you know, supplemental things that we need in our bodies. But imagine if I just did that. Imagine if I just did the supplements. Imagine if I just drank Field of Greens. Or imagine if I just consumed the 4 scoops of Armour colostrum a day. Yes, Michael Jackson was a great friend of Donald Trump. And Donald Trump was one of the only people that believed him, by the way. I just saw that in the chat. Yes, I stand on this Juvent now for the second day. Yes, I take magnesium. Yes, I take these things so that my body can have the proper things in it, because we don't really have it anymore because of our diets, because of food, because of the killing of the farmland and the terrible food we're eating. So we're eating better. We're taking our supplements. But imagine if I just did that as a thick, overweight person and expected to get abs of steel, or expected to drop, you know, any unwanted belly weight. It would never happen. And do you know why? It's just like faith without works is dead. There's got to be a way, no matter what situation that you find yourselves in, no matter what your health is like, no matter what your body is like, there's got to be a way to put in the physical along with the supplemental and the good eating. It's all got to work in tandem. Now, some people can't get out there and run 5 miles. God knows I can't. But yesterday, as I was working out, I used to listen to secular music not that long ago while working out. Like, I didn't listen to secular music really much anymore unless I was working out. And yesterday, I got this thing for Christmas. It sits on the wall, and it kind of lights up, and where it lights up, you hit it, right? For training, for calisthenic, for boxing. And I'm sitting there last night, and I'm hitting these things. But you know what I'm singing loud as I can while I'm hitting these things? Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. I literally decided to worship and to speak the name of God while I was honoring his temple, my body. And I got off that and I put on the heavier gloves and I went to the punching bag, because I got one of those for Christmas too. and I turned up, I turned on the music. First thing I turned on was Heartbreak Hallelujah from Brandon Lake. Heartfelt Hallelujah, Heartfelt Hallelujah. And I cranked it, and I'm sitting there, and I'm hitting to the beat, and I'm like, Heartfelt Hallelujah. And I'd never, ever worked out to worship music or Christian music. And I got to tell you, as I'm doing it, I'm not even getting, like, I'm getting winded, you know what I mean? Like, I'm getting sweaty. You know, you start wearing down. I didn't wear down. I wore up. I don't know if that makes, I just increased. I'm down there. My wife and kids must thought I'm crazy, because I'm down there and I'm singing at the top of my lungs, right? I'm singing. I'm doing the punching bag. I'm lifting. I'm jump roping in the basement. I'm doing all this stuff while singing. And when I'm done, when I drop the weights, or when I'm done that 3 minutes on the bag, I'm like, woo, woo. I like had all this energy and I didn't know where it was coming from. But I realized it was coming from the Lord. So that's my story this morning, because I think when we're talking about healthiness and wellness and all that, there are pillars to that too, right? You can't just take the supplements without doing some kind of workout. Some kind of physical, right? They got to work in tandem. So, bringing me to the verses of the day today. James 2, 21 through 26. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. Hold on. Faith was completed by his works. The actions. Let's get back to it. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believes God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. Why was he called a friend of God? Because he listened. He had a conversation with, he had a dialogue with God after listening. He had an emotion of trust, and that emotion of trust led him on a journey, which was completed by an action, not just the going. The going was for a reason. Yes, the going was an action, but there was a far greater action that completed Abraham's faith, and that was being ready to sacrifice his son Isaac. And was called a friend of God for doing so. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Now, before we get to the other parts of faith, we talked about works. We got to talk about Abraham for a minute. What was his... Well, you know what? Actually, let's just go right to the three pillars, and then we'll come back to that, okay? All right. In order to have true faith, it consists of three things: an emotional component, a thoughtful component, and an active component. An emotional component, a thoughtful component, and an action component. Those are your three pillars of faith. You need all of them in order to complete faith. It's not just faith without works. It's not just works that complete faith, and you're not working to get salvation. It's a three-step process that needs to be completed in order to show real faith. And then the works speak for themselves. So let's get to the emotional part. There are a various amount of emotions that come along with faith. Trust. That's an emotion. Hope. Love. And even fear. Ray Comfort says, in some cases, fear is your friend because it motivates you to do something that God wants you to do. So there are an array of different emotions, but ones that you need to feel and have in the beginning of your journey to faith are things like trust, hope, love, forgiveness, fear. These are all emotions. Then there's the thoughtful component of it. And the thoughtful component of it is you reading scripture. Something pushed you to that Bible. Something pushed you to the Word of God. Something said to you, hey, I think it's time for you to read the Word of God. Your emotions led to your thoughtful component. And your thoughtful component led to you having conversations with God through Jesus. I am speaking to you, Lord, and you are speaking back to me. This is the thoughtful process. This is the thoughtful component, which emotion led to. And you cannot get to the completion of faith without those first two pillars. And then your action, your active component. True faith that you got from emotion first, thoughtful and meaningful dialogue with the Lord by reading scripture second, leads you to action. Because it can't not. It can't not. It's like, think about your dad or your mom leaves you. Say your dad had a favorite car. And your dad worked on this car all the time and could never get it going. And then your parents died and they left you, your dad left you this like 65 Corvette or something, right? Your emotions, whenever you saw videos or pictures of that car that's sitting in a garage collecting dust somewhere, the emotion of that car to your father is what gets you, I should do something. And then you start thinking, well, I'm going to complete his work. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to rebuild that engine. Here's my dad's notes. Here's all the things that he did to the car. Here's all the maintenance reports of it. That's the thoughtful part of it. And then your action is you go out there and you actually do it. And you're not doing it because of one, I mean, for something or another. You're doing it because something or another already happened. You're not going out there to complete that car for your dad. He's dead. He's gone. You're going out there to do it because it's part of his legacy. It's something that he wanted done. And you say, I'm going to go do that now. Because I feel like my emotions and my thought and now this action is it's compelling. It's a commandment almost. And when it's all said done, it's going to reflect my dad's love for that car. Now, I know that is a loose analogy, but it's a great way to understand what I'm talking about. It's a really great way to understand all of that. Now, getting back to the Bible. Let's take Abraham for a minute. God told him, you got to go. You got to pack up everything and leave. This is the thoughtful component now. Abraham is having this dialogue between God and him, and God says, go, and He goes. That was an action. Imagine if he didn't go. And then the ultimate action to complete his faith was bringing Isaac up for sacrifice. And oh, was he a friend of God. Think about Noah. Think about Noah. Imagine Noah's emotions when he saw the world becoming as evil and wicked as it was. Imagine Noah's family's emotions when they were laughed at, ridiculed, mocked, because they were telling people, you must repent. The Lord is going to come down on us. You must repent. There was emotion. And then the thoughtfulness was God speaking to Noah, saying, build me an ark. And Noah saying, an ark for what? Well, it's going to flood. Well, we're not near any water. Trust me, Noah, build an ark, gather animals, build the thing, put the animals in it, stay in it. You'll be safe from the flood. I'm going to wipe out everybody. Noah's action, okay, I'm going to go do this because I can't not go do this now. It's a series of events that is leading me to do this. Imagine if he didn't build the ark and everybody on planet Earth died. David, you can go from biblical history, historical people, one after the other. And they all, you can pinpoint the emotion, the thoughtful, and the action. All three of those combined. David, Joseph, Moses. Moses? I mean, such an easy one to pinpoint there. What's Moses' emotion? He runs away from Egypt after killing an Egyptian soldier, and he just lives in the wilderness. You don't think that that stirred up emotions constantly? You don't think he wanted to go back and see his mother and his brother and people he grew up with, his people? Oh, I'm sure there was a range of emotions. And then God came as a burning bush, and they had dialogue back and forth. Moses didn't want to go. Moses was a stutterer. He couldn't convey a message. And he was very afraid to go back. Again, an emotion, fear. And he's having this dialogue with God, and God says, do this, Moses. Moses' actions complete his faith. You guys know the rest. Plagues, Exodus, lost in the wilderness again. In every one of these situations, you can find the emotion first, which led to the thoughtful component, which leads to the action component, and all three need to be there in order to complete faith. So now let's bring that to us. Let's bring that to you. I'm sure that all of you are emotional about something that the best person to talk to about it is going to be God. That's the best place that you can bring your emotional problems, decisions, dilemmas, whatever it is. You got to bring them to God. Then you got to have a thoughtful dialogue with God. And the only way to do that is to read scripture. Because God speaks to you through the scripture. You're reading through Romans. You're reading through Matthew. You're reading through any of the Gospels, Revelations, Isaiah, Malachi, Ruth, Esther, Exodus. It doesn't matter. God will speak to you no matter which book of the Bible you're reading from. He just wants you to come to him. Prayer is another way. Prayer is more of a thoughtful component than it is an action component. Because you're talking to him. This is you having a dialogue with God. Scripture and prayer, this is the thoughtful part. A lot of people will say prayer is action. And I guess in some cases you can really look at it like it is, but what are you doing when you're praying? You're not physically doing something. You're having a conversation with God, which then pushes you into action. I got my answer, Lord. I know what to do. Now, I don't know about all of your stories. I know some of you. I know some of your testimonies. But I don't know all of your stories. I don't know what you're dealing with. So I can only tell you what I did, what I'm going through, how I put these three together. Moving to Iowa. Oh, and by the way, in almost every one of those biblical stories, the emotion, the thought, and the action all comes with a sacrifice as well. Somehow, it just does. God wants to know that you're willing to give something up for him. Maybe. He wants to know, he wants you to show yourself how much faith you really have to build you up stronger. He already knows. Moving to Iowa. Didn't want to do it. Hated the thought of it. Didn't want anything to do with it. I don't care if my family was back here. I don't care if my dad was here. I did not care. The last thing I wanted to do was move back to the Midwest. And the emotion showed. When my wife brought this up, there was a lot of emotion. She's the one who wanted to come here. She's the one who wanted to be closer to my family because she had got closer to my sister after her sister died. She's the one who wanted to leave where she grew up and was born and lived her whole life because she wanted something different. She wanted to step out of the comfort zone and do something different. I had no problem doing that, but I had found my home, New Hampshire, and I didn't want to step out. So there was a lot of emotion there that led to arguments, that led to crying, that led to ups and downs. Then my mom got cancer and that put it off, and there was a lot of things that were happening to keep me there. And then I had thought. Emotion led to actual thought. Taking the emotion out of it and thinking about the specifics. And that all came from to prayer. I was talking to God constantly. I was looking for a way out. I kind of feel bad about that today, looking for a way out. Because I knew at the very beginning he wanted me to go, and I tried to weasel my way out of it. I tried to talk my way out of it, but at least I was talking. Because if you're talking, then that means that you are listening as well. And my action was to step out in faith and say, okay, my sacrifice was my comfort of my home in New Hampshire, were my friends in New Hampshire, and ultimately was my daughter who was in New Hampshire. And that was action, much like Abraham's action. But there was a bigger action that I didn't really realize until yesterday when I was eating lunch with UFC Hall of Famer Pat Miletich. And he and I, through conversation, after prayer, we prayed together. We came to this realization that there is a bunch of toxic land that is either unable to sell, or nobody wants to buy it. And a lot of these are like old military sites with fences around them. Don't come in. Hazardous material was used here. Chemicals were used here on this property. Long story short, it isn't just that kind of stuff. Our government has been decimating our farmland for decades. Decimating it. Our farmland isn't like it used to be. And hence our food isn't like it used to be. And we're paying to kill ourselves. So when I had this conversation with Pat yesterday, he said, there's these things called brown lists. Are you aware of them? I said, no. He said, brown listed land is land that you can get for pennies on the dollar, or if not for free, as long as you're going to clean it back up. And he said, we have the ability in 6 months to bring that land back to the way God intended it to be. And he goes, that's my mission today. And I said, well, how much does it cost to do that? And he's like $500 an acre. And in 6 months, he goes, you know what happens first? And I said, what? We started talking about frequencies of minerals and nutrients in the ground. He said, when you start healing these minerals and nutrients in the soil, in the ground, the first thing that happens is animals flock back to it. And he goes, imagine if you could get this land for free or pennies on the dollar, do this, fix the land with our ability to do so, and then lease the land to farmers to have only chemical-free agriculture, or subdivide it and have people build homes, but it's got to be a chemical-free community where everybody has their own specific growing area. And he goes, the problem with doing this is most farmers won't lease it because they are just ingrained in the fact that they must use pesticides, they must use chemicals and stuff like that to grow these things properly or bigger or stronger. He goes, but actually, they're killing themselves and they're killing their profit, and they're killing their yield. They'd have 40% more yield if their land was fixed and cured. I never thought of anything like this. And he said, do you know what state has some of the highest cancer rates in the nation? Iowa. And I said, why Iowa? He said, because so much agriculture is done here and all the chemicals and pesticides are used on the land in which all the food that people are eating. And I was like, and then somebody nailed it right here in the chat. Biblical, fixing the soil. And I walked out of that meeting yesterday, and all he wanted to do was get to know me, and I wanted to get to know him. We had no idea we were going to talk about this stuff. Fixing the soil that's killing all of our children. It's killing us. We're paying to die early. And I thought about this. As I was working out, listening to worship music, and I'm getting goosebumps now because this is why God brought me here. For stuff like this, not necessarily just for this, but for stuff like this. And God knew far before I did. God knew, and he pushed me. And I kept saying, no, 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 no. And I didn't want to meet. I wanted to meet Pat for lunch, but I didn't want to have a business meeting. I didn't feel like doing it yesterday. I was like, oh, I got so much to do here in the studio. I can't just leave for an hour or two right now. I'm so busy. And I said, I'm just going to go. And I'm so glad I did. So, emotion. Thoughtfulness, prayer, talking to God, dialogue, action, three pillars of faith. And when you have them all, your faith is strong and you are a friend of God. What are you lacking today? What are you lacking in your life in faith? Are you lacking the emotion? Probably not. Are you lacking the thoughtful component? The conversation with God, the getting your answers back, not just watching this show. I'm talking about actually talking to God. And then are you put into action because of that conversation with God? And are you ignoring that action because you just don't want to do it, like I felt yesterday? Do it. Whatever it is, do it. It might be the entire reason why you're here. Do it. As much as you don't want to. I didn't want to come to Iowa. I didn't want to go to that lunch meeting. And man, God had me on another level yesterday. Really did. All right, we only got about 13 minutes to get back into Genesis, where we are in the Bible, the visual representation of Genesis. We just finished basically the story of Abraham, and we're now into Rebekah and Isaac and their life, and getting into the birth of Jacob and Esau. So ladies and gentlemen, back at it again. Here we go. Genesis visualized.
Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shuah. And Jokshan begat Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Ashurim and Letushim and Leomim. And the sons of Midian, Ephah and Epher and Hanok and Abida and Eldar. All these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet lived, eastward, unto the east country. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 153 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost, and died in a good old age, an old man, and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah, his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahai-roi. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names, according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajoth, and Kedar, and Adbeel, and Mibsam, and Mishma, and Duma, and Massa, Hadar, and Tema, Jetur, Naphish, and Kedemah. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names, by their towns, and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. And he gave up the ghost, and died, and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said,
If it be so, why am I thus?
And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her,
Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger.
And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob, and Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob,
Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.
Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said,
Sell me this day thy birthright.
And Esau said,
Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?
And Jacob said,
Swear to me this day.
And he sware unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink, and rose up, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright.
All right, we have, this is going to run us right to the end of the show, but here is chapter 26. We want to make sure we get these out, okay?
In the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him, and said,
Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws.
And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said,
She is my sister.
For he feared to say, She is my wife. Lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window, and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac, and said,
Behold, of a surety she is thy wife, and how saidst thou she is my sister?
And Isaac said unto him,
Because I said, Lest I die for her.
And Abimelech said,
What is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lien with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us.
And Abimelech charged all his people, saying,
He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death.
Then Isaac sowed in that land, and received in the same year an hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man waxed great, and went forward, and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks, and possession of herds, and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac,
Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we.
And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying,
The water is ours.
And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well, and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence, and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said,
For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.
And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said,
I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake.
And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them,
Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me and have sent me away from you?
And they said,
We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee, and we said, Let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord.
And he made them a feast.
All right, and we will pick up there tomorrow. What a great show today was, as, you know, all of our shows every day seem to be. And they seem to be getting better and better and better and better. But it is 9 Central, 10 Eastern, which means that Sean Farish, Ungoverned, is getting ready to start. Or I think he, yep, no, he's starting right now. So I'm going to jump. I love you guys. Remember, 3 parts to faith. The emotion part, the thoughtful part, and the action part. And only when they're all 3 together, by your powers combined, right? That is when faith is truly shown. And that is when God and you are in perfect harmony. Episode 518 tomorrow. Sean Farish now. But I will see you in an hour for 2 hours of Live from America and the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. hearing. God bless, guys. See you later.